Glad God's in charge.
Yes.
And we're not in charge. How many believe God hears you when we pray?
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many of you believe he's still in the miracle working business?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We had an awesome service here this morning in the presence of God. And you know, I believe God is stirring our hearts, and I believe he's stirring all over this country. And you know, when I hear a lot of gloom and doom and naysayers, I said, you know what? My God is bigger than that.
Yes.
I'm thankful that I serve an awesome God. Tonight we serve a great big God.
Yes,
hallelujah. We serve a great big God. There's a scripture that says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. And you know, we think of that song, oh, magnify the Lord, and we sing it as a song, and we think that means, oh, we're going to just bless the Lord and exalt the Lord, and that's part of it. But to magnify something means you make it bigger, you enlarge it, or you just see how big that is. And that scripture to me is saying, just look how big my God is. Let's just declare how big our God is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's an awesome God. Amen. That's an awesome God. Hallelujah. So I'm excited. There's an excitement in my spirit tonight. There's been an excitement in my spirit for what God is about to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God has some great things in store for us. I believe individually. I believe corporately as a body. I believe as a community. I believe God's doing some awesome things in our community. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is doing some awesome things in our country. I'm glad that the president doesn't run the country.
Amen.
God's in charge.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Our direction of this country does not lay in the hands of one man or just our Congress or just our senators. And I believe we need to pray for them. We need to pray for our country. I believe we need to pray for Obama, whether you're for him or against him. You need to pray for him because he's the man in the White House for the hour.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I believe we need to pray for them, but I believe God is in charge.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's never been a plan B. There's only ever been a plan A. When God orchestrated it from the beginning, the God who can speak light into existence,
yes.
The God who can separate the waters from the earth and created the heaven and the earth and the stars and the moon and the vastness of what we know as the heavens,
yes.
He's in charge of our finances. He's in charge of our sicknesses.
Yes.
He's in charge of our concerns. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the stirring that he's doing in our body, in our fellowship, in our midst, in each and every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Ask God, Lord, stir up that passion in me. Stir up the gifts of God that are in me. Stir up the Holy Ghost that's in me. Amen? Hallelujah. Because he said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
Not just natural waters, but the very presence of God that resides and lives in you. He said, "I in him I live and move and have my being." But he said, I and my Father are going to come, and we're going to take up our abode in you. That means the very God of the heavens, hallelujah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, took up his abode and lives within me. Hallelujah. That in times of situations, good times and bad times, I'm not in charge of the situation, but the God that resides within me is. The scripture declares that when I am weak, then he is strong in me. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever feel weak at times?
Yes.
Couple of you? Amen.
Yes.
Couple
yes.
of us? Feel weak sometimes. But how many of you ever been in a situation where you felt the presence of God come alive in you and the strength of God come alive and say, you know what, I know there's some crisis. I know there's some storms. I know there's some things going on, but I feel something inside of me. I feel something in my spirit that's bigger and greater than what I see with my natural eyes. Amen? Hallelujah. And we cause that Holy Ghost to flow and to move. Things begin to happen. Amen? So I'm excited about that. I want to go to Acts chapter 3 tonight. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to start there. You know, we had a special service this morning, and we prayed for healing and for miracles. and some different churches that were in fellowship and things like that all over the country. We're doing that today and praying for miracles and things like that. But I believe there's all different kinds of miracles. I believe miracles come in all different ways. Yes. Amen. All different packages, all different. You know, sometimes I think there are things that happen before us that are miracles, and we don't even understand and see that God has just done a miracle in our midst. Diversities of healing, diversities of gifts, absolutely. And so this chapter, Acts chapter 3, and we know that, you know, that Jesus walked and he did the miracles, performed all kinds of miracles. Somebody tell me a miracle that Jesus did. He walked on the water. Turned water into wine. Healed the blind man. Healed the woman with the issue of blood. Healed the lame man. Fed the multitude. There's one I was looking for. Samaritan woman. Raised the dead. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yep. Cast out demons. Amen. Hallelujah. He did some awesome miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus declared to the disciples, as Terry was ministering earlier, greater things than these shall ye do. That's pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
Amen. And so we can say, yeah, I know all about miracles, but that only happened in Jesus' day. That's because, you know, he was without sin, without blame. But how many know miracles happened beyond the day of Jesus?
Amen.
Miracles happened even after the ascension. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to ascend to my Father, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
You're going to be endued with power from on high. And so he began to empower them. Hallelujah. And so we can't just say, oh, that was just for another day. That was in Jesus' day and things like that. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are just about to go up together into the temple, it says. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Everybody say, such as I have. Give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Hallelujah. The scripture says that Peter and John went up to the temple, being about the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour. And it says, and there was a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb, who was carried there and put at the beautiful gate, put at the gate of the temple and laid there. And the purpose for him laying at this temple was to beg alms of all the good church folk that would pass through that day and that would maybe minister to his poverty, his need of poverty, why he sat there, because him being lame, he's unable to work, he's unable to take care of himself because he's lame. Now, we're not talking about the days where you could go and sign up for assistance or get some help and some things like that. I mean, thank God for those assistance programs,
yes,
that if you're in need, they're there and they're available.
Yes.
You know, we talk about our country and things a lot. But I said to you before, the poorest in our country is richer than probably half of the world.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That even on a bad day, when we think we're having a bad day and one of our three cars don't start, you know, or, you know, something like that, that we think, you know, that we're having a, that's not a bad day.
No.
That's not a bad day. And, you know, we need to change how we view some things sometimes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. half the world would just like to have one vehicle for the community to use.
Yes.
Amen? And so here he is, he's sitting at the gate and he's begging alms, looking for a handout, needing someone to minister to his poverty. Now, I don't know a lot of background on this story, but I'm guessing that this is not the first time that Peter and John probably have passed by this man sitting by this beautiful gate. Hallelujah. And you know, we talked a couple Sunday nights ago about the four lepers that sat outside the city. And their statement was, why sit here we till we die? If we go into the city, we could be killed by them. If we sit here, we're going to starve to death. So let's just get up and do something. Let's go into the city. Let's not stand on the edge or be on the verge of something. And I think so many times in our life, we stand in a place where we're on the edge of something or we're on the verge of something. And sometimes even in our declarations and our decreeing, we say, God's about to do something. God's about to do something. And he's always about to do something. And what we need to declare is God's doing something right now. God is moving. God is speaking. God is ministering. God is healing. Hallelujah. God is always speaking. We're not always hearing, but he's always speaking. Amen? And so here he sits in this place. And Peter and John are confronted by him, and he said, and he's begging alms of them. And Peter finally stops this day. Something about this plea, something about this command from this man, this, you know, drawing from this man catches Peter's attention today. Maybe he's not met him before. Maybe he has. But Peter basically says to him, look at me. Look at me. The Message Bible says, look at me. I don't have a penny to my name. That's how the Message Bible says it. I don't have a penny to my name, but what I do have, I give to you. Hallelujah. Now, what does Peter and John have? They have the power of God. Let's look for a moment where they're standing right now. Hallelujah. They got some background information. Amen? Hallelujah. Peter and John got some background information. They've been hanging out with Jesus, the miracle worker. They were there when he healed the blind man. They were there when he made the lame to walk. They were there when he cast out demons. They were there when the woman who was bowed over for 18 years and could not in no wise lift herself up, and Jesus spoke to her and said, you are loosed from your spirit of infirmity. They were there. They were there when the woman touched the hem of his garment, and she was immediately made whole, the scripture says. They were there. Peter, as a matter of fact, was beside of Jesus when he said, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Hallelujah. Because when he looked down on the water and the storms were going and he sees Jesus walking on the water, there was some fear in that. How many know when you're not sure of the circumstances ahead of you, there's some fear in that. Hallelujah. But Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Jesus just simply said, come. Hallelujah. And Peter stepped out of the boat, and he walked on water. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And you can say, yeah, but he went under. Yeah, but Jesus was there to get him. But thank God he stepped out of the boat. Yes. The rest of them stood in the boat and said, wonder if Peter's going to make it. Yeah. Or stood in the boat and said, man, I wish I had the faith to get out of this boat. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the nerve to step out of this boat. I wish I had the faith to get out of the box I'm in. I wish I had the direction to change some things that's happening in my life. I wish I had the drive that Peter did to say, Lord, I'm coming to you no matter the adversity in between you and I, no matter what is the space between us, no matter what it looks like where I step, I'm going to trust you step by step by step, and I'm coming to you. Hallelujah. And everybody else in the boat says, man, I wish I could have done that. Yeah. Amen? So you can spend all your life thinking, man, I wish I'd have done that. Or you can step out of the boat and say, I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah. I'm going to try it. Yeah. There's an old country music song says, I hope if you get the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Yeah. I hope you don't get to the end of the line and say, man, I wish I'd have tried that. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have lived my life differently. I wish I'd have, you know, changed some things in my life early on. I hope you get to the end of the line and say, man, I've had a blast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I've had a blast because the Lord has been king of my life. Yes. Hallelujah. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it the same way. Hallelujah. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it with Jesus by my side and saying, I've had the time of my life. Hallelujah. And so Peter had some background experience. You know, when you get ready to do a task, sometimes you've got to have some background experience in it. Now, you can kind of take on some chores or some things, but it helps to have some background. So he had some background experience in miracles. Amen? You know, there was the time when Jesus is preaching the sermon and he's got the great crowd, the multitudes there, and there's about 5,000 people, and he's just preaching his heart out, and the people are just staying all day. And finally, the disciples said, Lord, you need to send these folks home. They need to go home and eat. He said, it's been a long day. You know, you've preached to the multitude. The multitude's just staying. They're staying to hear what he has to say, and they're staying for his miracles. And Peter and the disciples, they said, Lord, you've got to send these folks home. They need to go home and eat. He said, well, Peter, feed them. Peter, feed them. He said, Lord, I don't have a penny to my name. Does that sound familiar? 200 penny worth is not enough to go out and buy anything for this crowd of people. So what do you suppose we should do about that, Lord? Somebody in the crowd says, there's a little lad here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what in the world are they going to do amongst this multitude? What is this little bit going to do to the multitude? Hallelujah. Somebody somewhere got up and packed that young man's lunch for the day and said, you know what, son? Today you're going to encounter Jesus. Today you're going to be in the presence of the Messiah. You're going to be in the presence of the Savior. And when you get there, you pack your lunch and you take it with you. And you stay all day if you have to. You get what you came for. But you go and sit at the Master's feet and find out what he's got to say to you today. And not only did he have provision for himself, but when he got to the multitude, he found out the very provision, the very thing that he had that could sustain him when he got to the multitude was just what Jesus needed, was the gifting or what he had. See, God will only ever require what you have in your house. What are you prepared for? What is your provision? And when you come to the multitude, do you have anything to share? Do you have anything to take out of your box and say, here, have some of what I have? Because if you'll yield it and you'll relinquish it to the Master, let me tell you what, he can take it and he can bless it and he can break it and he can give it to the multitude. Hallelujah. And they said, we got a little lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? That's 2 fish sandwiches and a couple bread slices besides. He said, bring it to me. And as Jesus began to take the bread and the fishes, and he blessed them and he broke them, he broke that bread. The scripture says he gave it to the disciples. He said, now you disciples, you feed the multitude. You take it out. And you feed the hungry. You feed the multitude. See, Jesus performed the miracle, but he needs hands that are willing to take what he's given to you and what you've relinquished to him, and then you take it out to the multitude and say, this may not seem like much to you today, but I want to tell you the Lord loves you. It may not seem like much provision that I've packed for the day, but I want you to know that healing is the children's bread. I want you to know that Jesus cares about you. I want you to know that there's a plan of salvation. I want you to know that there's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. That's what you distribute to the multitude. That's how you feed the multitude. Hallelujah. So Peter had some background experience. Hallelujah. Feeding the multitude. And not only did those disciples take out that provision, the bread and the fish, and give it to the multitude, but he said, has everybody eaten? The disciples said they had all eaten and were filled. Not just a little snack, had all eaten and were filled. And he said, now what I want you to do now is take up the fragments that are left over, 12 baskets full. Yes. There were 12 disciples. There was a basket full for each disciple to take back home to their house, because I will guarantee you, if you will give, it will be given back to you. Yes. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. As we give, he said, I'll give back into your bosom. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you after many days. In our giving, it does not leave our vessel or our hands empty. But there is an infilling and a blessing that comes back to us that says, Lord, you fill me up. You sustain me. You give me life. Hallelujah. You give bread to the hungry. Hallelujah. So number one thing Peter has, such as I have, give I unto thee. Number one thing he has is some background information, some background training in miracles. Class 101, miracles. He's got some teaching, some training, and some background in that. Number two, we're only in chapter 3 of book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, you'll find out that they were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I want you to go to an upper room, and I want you to wait there, and I want you to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued, what?
With power.
With power from on high. Number two thing, such as I have, endued with power from on high. I told you before, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost takes up its abode within us. There is a power inside of you that you don't even realize that you have.
Yes.
Amen? And it is the power of God that lives and resides in us. They've been endued with power from on high. Peter, who had questioned Jesus, didn't know where this was all going to go, had denied him, walked away from him, now sits in a place in an upper room where they've been endued from power on high. And guess who's the man who stands up and preaches to the 3,000 people and says, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied and promised. Prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on who?
All flesh.
Hallelujah. He stands up and begins to declare the message of what he now has not only seen with his eyes, but an experience, has experienced the power of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So such as I have, he's got some background information. He's got some being endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. And then he's got another message. He's got the message of the cross. Amen? See, Peter's standing on this side of the cross now. He was a different man on the other side of the cross. He questioned everything Jesus did. You know, he came to the disciples and he said, guys, I just need to let you know, I need to warn you up front that I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. And I'm going to be beaten and I'm going to be crucified. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Peter said, not so, Lord. And he pulls him aside and tries to, you know, let's not talk about that stuff. Let's not say that. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Lord. Now, just before that, he'd got a big revelation. He was the man of the hour, got the big revelation. He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. He said, yeah, Peter, but who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that out of a book somewhere. My Father, which is in heaven, has revealed that to you. And upon that revelation and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, he's got the revelation. Turn around the next minute, and Jesus is saying to him, get behind me, Satan. And so he, in his journey and in his figuring out who this man really was and this Christ and this Messiah, he finally gets it and stands up in the book of Revelation and says, men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was poured out on all flesh. Hallelujah. The power of God. But he has a revelation of the cross. Amen? We're talking about such as I have. He's got background information. He's got power from on high. And he's got the revelation of the cross. He's done been at the foot of the cross. He's seen him beaten. He's seen him crucified. He's seen him buried. As a matter of fact, they all went and locked themselves in a room and hid out for a little while, figuring that if they got him, they're coming after us. Peter's the guy that goes to sleep on him in the garden. He tells Peter, he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, not me, not I. He said, Peter, I'm just telling you this up front because when it happens, you'll understand. Because he goes on the next, he tells them all, he said, you're going to walk away from me. He said, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. But he goes into that next chapter and he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And that place that he's prepared for us is Calvary. Hallelujah. I believe there's a place beyond what we know in this natural realm is heaven and all that. But I believe the ultimate place that you need to realize that he prepared for you is the cross of Calvary. Amen. That you have access to the Father. Hallelujah. And so when Peter sat in the room, distraught, discouraged, trying to figure out this whole package and how this happened, Mary goes to the tomb to anoint the dead body of her friend, Jesus. And she gets to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away, and there's no body in the tomb. And she said, if you've taken away my Lord, just please tell me where you've taken him, that I can go and anoint his body. And the angel said to Mary, he's not here, Mary. He's risen. Go tell my disciples, and while you're at it, tell Peter that I'm alive. That's powerful to me. Tell Peter that I'm alive. Because the last time they made eye contact was when Peter had just denied him the third time, and the cock crows, and he turns around and looks Jesus in the eye and realizes he did just exactly what he said he would not do. And the cock crows, and there it is. Hallelujah. And so you can say, well, the rooster told on him, and there he is. He's left in that situation. And he is for a few days. But you know what that rooster really had to say? Don't sweat it, Peter, because the rooster's announcing it's a brand new day. Hallelujah. Because what Jesus just accomplished for you at the cross, there's no matter how bad you blow it, I forgive you of that sin. I forgive you. When we make mistakes, I am thankful tonight for a God who forgives me when I fail. Forgives me of my sins. Forgive me when I blow it big time. Said, Lord, here I am again. And yeah, I blew it. But he is faithful to receive me every time. Hallelujah. So he said, he knows the condition Peter's in. He said, go tell my disciples and tell Peter that I'm alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is faithful to go back to him and minister to him on the shore, because when they didn't know what else to do, Peter says, well, boys, I don't know what else to do. Let's go back to fishing. See, Peter was a fisherman by trade, but he was an apostle by calling. He was a fisherman by trade, but he was an apostle by calling, a disciple by calling. He said, I don't know what else to do. Let's just go fishing. The other guy said, well, then we'll go fishing with you. But what happens when... And you've heard me say this before. What happens when Peter and them go back to what they used to be? When you go back to what you used to do and what you used to be, all of a sudden you find out, you know what? This just isn't working anymore. This is not giving me the results that I want. This is not producing anything. And so he goes back to fishing, and Jesus comes and stands on the shore, and he watches them for a little bit, and they're fishing and bringing in their fish. And Jesus says, hey, guys, you got any meat? And they respond, nope, no fish. No fish stories to tell, no big one that got away. You know, no fish for supper tonight. Hey, boys, you got any meat? Nope. Jesus, I think, chuckles a little bit and says, well, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And all the professional fishermen in the boat said, we tried that side of the ship, and we've tried that side of the ship, and we changed the bait, and we chummed a little, and we got our different poles, or we got our different nets. We did everything we knew to get the fish, but guess what? It's just not working. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And so out of obedience, they cast their net on the right side of the ship, but something happens this time, and the net's full. See, you can do a whole lot of things on your own effort, and you can try to work it out, and you can try to figure it out, and you can fish on the left side of the boat and the right side of the boat, and you can try to go back to doing what you think used to be and what worked, and you're going to find out in your own strength and your own effort outside the voice of God in your life, it will not work. It will not work, and you can wear yourself out. You can change nets. You can figure it out all you want to do it. It does not work. And if you find yourself in this position where it just isn't working, you need to listen for the voice that says, when you'll hear my voice and you'll respond to my voice, I'll change your circumstances. And their response to his command all of a sudden, things start to happen. So they got so many fish in the net now, they can't hardly bring it in. But a light goes on, a bulb goes, you know, light bulb comes on in Peter's head. I know that voice. I know that command. That was the same voice that I heard on the seas and on the shore of Galilee one day when Jesus came along and said, "Hey, Peter, follow me, because I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Yes. Hallelujah. Peter had some things to settle. Yes. He had a score to settle. The scripture says he gets to the shore before anybody else does. And see, the beauty of this picture is, what's Jesus already got on the fire? He's got bread and fish. He didn't need their fish. He didn't need their catch for the day. He's already got bread and fish on the fire. All he needs is your response. All he needs is your obedience. All he needs is for you to respond when he speaks. Hallelujah. To hear his voice and respond when he speaks. And so when he gets on the shore, he sits down with Jesus and they go eye to eye. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And I think he probably looked at his feet and said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Then feed my sheep." So they eat a little bit of fish sandwich and he looks at him again and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs." Finally, I think they go eye to eye and Jesus looks at him and says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you."
Yes.
Three times Peter denied the Lord. Three times Jesus gave him opportunity to say, "Lord, you know I love you. With everything within me, I love you. All of my being, all of who I am. The journey has been an interesting one, and I'm just getting it. Peter's just figuring it out." He said, "But above all things, Lord, you know that I love you." Hallelujah. See, even when you think you've messed up, even when you think you've denied him, even when you think you've walked away from him, there is a loving God who comes back to you and says, "Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you." Thomas said, "You know all these stories y'all are telling about the risen Savior? It all sounds good, but unless I can see him, unless I can put my hands in his hands and put my hand in his side, I cannot believe." So Jesus didn't say, "Well, then, Thomas, you're just out of the club. You're out of the group, you know, if you don't believe, just..." Peter said, "What's that? Thomas needs to see me. Thomas needs to see the scar in my side and my hands." See, he's faithful to meet you where you are. And so in his disbelief, in his uncertainty, in his trying to figure this out, Jesus comes to him and said, "Thomas, check it out. Put your hand in my hands. Put your hand in my side. Blessings to you, Thomas, because you see and believe. But blessings to those who do not see and yet they still believe." Hallelujah. Peter had an understanding of the cross. He had an understanding of grace. He had an understanding of forgiveness. He had an understanding that, you know, when I blew it, he could fix it for me. That even when I thought he had turned his back on me, even when I thought I had denied him, even when I thought I had messed up, he was faithful to come back and meet me where I am.
Hallelujah.
And allow me to say, "Lord, you know I love you."
Yeah.
So somewhere, somehow in that journey, going to the temple that day, him and John, looks on a man who's in a crippled position, begging alms just enough to get him through the day. And he looks at a man who's distraught and broken and poor and destitute and says, "I remember a day when the master sat down with me on the shore, when I was broken. Not physically broken, but when I was broken inside, when I was messed up, when I was confused, he sat down with me on the shore and he spoke into my life. He declared his love for me." And something about Peter that day, seeing that man at the gate, says, "I don't have a penny to my name. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the scripture says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he stood up and walked. Hallelujah. Miracles. I believe there was some strengthening of some feet and ankle bones here today. Not just physically. And I believe God is going to show us some of that physically. But I believe even greater than that, there is some strengthening and healing of our feet and ankle bones that cause us to stand up out of our place where we are and start our journey, hallelujah, to begin to walk step by step and say, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Lord, give me strength in my feet and my ankles, my knees, my bones. Cause me to walk according to what you have called me to. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe there is physical healings, and I believe there are spiritual healings. I believe there's emotional healings. I believe God can minister to you in a whole lot of ways. Hallelujah. But all I can declare to you tonight is such as I have. Hallelujah. Some background experience. Some power from on high, hallelujah, and a message of the cross and the grace and mercy of God that can get you through anything, anywhere, anytime, hallelujah. People said, you know, people get mad at God all the time. I have people tell me, I was mad at your boss. I said, that's okay. Doesn't shake him up. He's not real worked up over that. As a matter of fact, he gave you emotions. And that's all part of a process. I said, but you won't stay mad forever. And when you realize it's better to go through it with him than without him, yeah, they'll realize he's not mad at you and you're not really mad at him. No. But if you allow him, he'll embrace you. Yeah. He'll wrap his arms around you. He'll engulf you. He'll take you through places you never thought you could walk. Yeah. Get you through situations you never thought you could handle. Strengthen you in ways you never thought could be strengthened. Yeah. Hallelujah. I so love the message of the prodigal son when he said he gets to a point. He had inheritance. He had the name. He had provision. Father said, here it is. This is your inheritance. Do with what you want. And the scripture says, and he spends it on riotous living. He blows it all, finds himself in a hog pen, feeding the hog. As a matter of fact, him and the hogs are having lunch together. Said he to eat the husk that the hogs were eating. But a light bulb goes off. He said, I'm going to go back. I could go back to my father's house. And I could say to my father, Father, I have sinned against you. And I'll just be a servant in your house. If you'll just let me be a servant in your house, it's got to smell better than this hog pen. Yes. We were at the zoo yesterday, and some of the places just don't smell pretty. Amen. The gorilla house is not a pretty place. The elephants were not a pretty thing. After a point, you're thanking God for the rain that washes all that stuff away. He said, I'm tired of living in the hog pen. See, you got to come to a place where you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of living with the hogs. And tired of eating from the hog pen. And then something comes to you and said, you know what? I'm going to go back to Father's house. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth, but if you'll let me just be a servant in your house, it'll be better than what I have here now. But the beauty of the story is, see, this story is not about the prodigal son. We've always preached it from the angle that, oh, that son got a revelation and he came back. The picture of this story is there is a father who's standing at the window looking for his son. He said, because I trust the inheritance that I invested in my son. When I gave him his inheritance, I invested something in him. And I will see the return of my investment. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but Father stands because the scripture tells us that when the Father saw him, what? Afar off. See, son didn't come back and knock on the Father's door. Father sees him afar off. And he starts giving commands. Go get the robe. Go get the calf. Kill the fatted calf. Get my ring. My son's on his way home. What I thought I had lost, I have found. What I thought was dead is alive. And I'm seeing the return of my son. And Father said, let's throw a party. See, the party wasn't for the son. The party was for the Father. Because what I had lost, I have found and has been returned to me. Father's always standing looking for your return. He's always looking for you to come home. He's always looking for you to come to your senses. And he stands ready to embrace you. He said, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'll be a servant. He said, when you left my house, you were a son. And when you come back to my house, you're a son. And I will restore you to who you once were. Hallelujah. He put the robe on him. He put the ring on his finger. He killed the fatted calf and had a party because what the Father lost, he had found. Hallelujah. That's good news to me. Hallelujah. That even when I thought I was running from him, he was running to me. Hallelujah. The only time that God ran was when he ran to me. Took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, my son's come home. Hallelujah. That's good news tonight. Amen. We can only impart such as I have, but you have the deposit of God in you that such as I have, you can cause people to re-strength in their feet and their ankle bones and rise up out of the place that they're in and be made every whit whole. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me tonight.